Welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast, focused on providing valuable information for anyone looking to undertake a new build or extension project. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories from a building designer's perspective.
And welcome to the Building Design Primetime Podcast. I'm your host, Amelia, and once again, we're joined by Frank Geskus.
Hey, Amelia. Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy 2024. This is our first podcast back for 2024 New Year.
Wow.
I know. Where did the time go?
Holidays always go a bit too fast, don't they?
They always do, and I always eat too much. I don't know about you, but...
No, I wouldn't. A few indulgent beverages as well, maybe?
Oh, surely not.
No.
Not you.
No. So what are we talking about today?
Well, I thought we'd have a chat about some kind of frequently asked questions that come up fairly regularly with clients that come in, and we thought that we'd try and address some of those so that you guys can get a better understanding of how it all works. So,
Nice one. Okay.
What do you think about how do I stay in touch with my budget?
Oh, there's a good one. And it's a very good question. And it's not easy. Let's be totally honest about this. In the current climate where increases of building costs have gone pretty quick, we've had projects just recently. They had a budget, we're all on track, but the build costs went at such a rate. By the time we had all the building approvals, didn't meet their budget anymore.
That's a really scary thing.
It was. Yeah. It's not as bad now. We know where it's sitting in. But it was a combination of products, subbies, a whole range of things that the price just went very quickly up. And we had some in Tasmania, we had some very big price increases. And I'm sure the rest of Australia has as well. So that's been challenging, and especially when they're heavily financed as well, it can be really challenging there as well. But we've been able to come back and adjust a few things, reduce a few things and make an amendment to the plans.
So what sort of things do we need to do in order to address those fears that people come in with, you know, and blowing their budget? Because that is, I guess, the biggest fear is...
Oh, look, and even for myself, you know, I've been through it myself. And in being a, and I'll give you the hint, being a designer, we're probably, you know, a bit harder on ourselves. This is when we want more. But the bottom line is you've got to be clear on what the budget is. Okay, dollar figure, that's fine. But making sure, does that cover the base build of the house, or do you need to have your driveway, your fences, your curtains, you need a deck out the back, you need to put a shed up, those types of things you've got to consider. So the budget has to cover a lot of those things. The budget would cover your designer fees, all the other consultants that you're going to use, and there's generally five consultants you need for every project. So the budget has to allow for all those items. So when you're planning these, just be open and honest. Will that be enough? Well, yes, it'll be enough for the build, but have you allowed for all the permit fees, our fees? And that's why I give full comprehensive fee proposals to say, well, building surveyor will approximately cost you this. And you get all these approximates all the way through for your consultants because they can't give you a fixed price on something that hasn't been drawn yet. So it's being upfront and honest and what their expectations are, because we do have it where some people think, oh, a deck's included in the house. Well, it is included in the builder's price, but it's not the base build of the house, okay? Once you've established that, then you can work back from, yep, I need to allow for a driveway, X amount of dollars, a deck, a shed. Am I going to allow landscaping? Do I have to, brand new subdivision, do I have to put fences up?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And there's one bit, and we've spoken about this before when choosing land. Does your land actually increase the cost of the build? Is it a site that is difficult to build on? And that could be from anything from slope, or it's heavily vegetated.
Could be full of rock.
Could be full of rock, covered with a nice skim of topsoil and nice grass, and underneath you've got a few surprises there. And your geotech doesn't always pick that up because there's only one or two holes on site, and you can't always pick that up. But we know from experience certain sites have got plenty of underlying rock. And sometimes it can be good because you can actually do a cheaper floor system than you can when it's just highly reactive clay. But there's also the other side. We've got floating rocks in the clay. They're a pain. You've got to pull them all out and you've got a big hole there.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of variables in that. So it's being very clear on that budget. And then you've got to have a thing called contingency. This is having a percentage of your build that is not part of your build. So if you're looking at a $500,000 house, for argument's sake, you allow 10% minimum on a brand new build. If you're on a really steep site, say 20%.
Okay.
Because that's the variability you can have on a steep site. Then that gives you a bit up your sleeve for price increases or unexpecteds. And also, budget doesn't mean a lot unless you've got a fixed price with a builder. Because if you've got a builder, oh, it'll be approximately this. Well, the budget won't work with an approximate with a builder. You want it fixed.
Sure.
Unless you change your mind. So lots of variable, you know, you just think about the budget. A lot of things have to be in a line to make sure you can stick to that.
And then you sort of got to look at the other side of it as well. That's obviously for a new build, but you've also got extensions.
Yep, which are even harder.
Yeah, so do you need more of a contingency for that?
Yes, we'd say minimum at 20%. And that depends on the type. If you're going up for second floor, I'd say 30%.
Wow.
Because there are things you don't know and you're like, oh, wow, that's rotted out, oh, this. Anything with extensions and there's double handling, we try and design them generally so you can build without breaking a hole through the wall of the house. So all the extensions done, cut a hole through, last thing. So there's not too much double handling and mess through the house. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it's a reno plus extension. That's usually how it works. And then it's just a lot of mess. You're living in a lot of mess. So, yep, just what it is. It's also being upfront with your budget and you keeping notes for yourself too. And also your budget is dictated by your selections. So
fittings, fixtures, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, true, true. But even on your base build, you've got to look at your cladding.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if you've chosen, oh, I love this thing I saw in a magazine, yeah, it's great. So brick veneer might be $130, $120 a square metre, but you've chosen this cladding that's $240. But you don't know that. So this is where you've got to get advice from your designers and whatnot too. Designers, we don't know 100% all the costs because we don't work in that space all the time. We're not getting prices all the time. But we offer a service with someone who can price it for you rather than a builder. He's a professional estimator. And we use it as an indication, are we on track or not? We try and do that really early. If you've got a builder, you're working with a builder, and we do lots of work with builders and their clients, and then the builder can make sure it keeps it on track as well. You know, you've seen the prices of different carpets. You got, you know, $50 a square metre to $200 a square metre.
Oh, it's crazy.
Of course, and that's no different with your joinery, your tiles, your tap fittings. So you've got to look at your base build and then the money left over to do all your selections inside. So it's something we can assist with. That's the crux of it. And there's probably more details within that as well. But it comes down to your selections every time. Once you've got the base build, selections will kill your budget. Yeah. Hopefully that answers that a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe some will, because we'll keep touching on this with future podcasts. And all budget always pops up, and rightly so.
Oh, always. And I guess it is one of the biggest fears, I think, that people have when they're going to such, you know, big projects.
But also you don't know what you don't know. When you go into these meetings, don't feel like you're a dummy. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to say, I can't afford that. Or it's okay to say, no. You've got to be straight up, fair dinkum, saying, no, this is what it's got to be. And then we'll say, look, you can't do it for that, but I think we can do this for that money. There's no point, shall I say, bullshitting. We only ever want to see stuff that can get built. There's no point fluffing around with something that you can't build.
And that's why I guess budget is one of the biggest conversations. Certainly. Right at the beginning of the process.
But also we find things through the project, like the consultants go, oh, the geotech came up really bad. Oh, it's going to add another $7,000 or $8,000 to the footing. Oh, the actual crossover is in the wrong spot for your garage, or we need to widen it. It's going to cost you another $5,000 to widen it. Oh, hang on. Your water connection's right next to your driveway, so you can't widen it. So if you want to move it a metre, it's going to cost you X amount of dollars. That may sound weird, but it's happened heaps of times.
Oh, I can imagine.
So that's just one thing people are concerned about, and rightly so stay on top of that.
Getting ripped off by your builder.
Oh, this one makes me so sad. This happens more than I'd like to say. But I'd also like to put a positive spin. There's plenty of happy people with builders too, okay? I'm a big believer in asking, again, lots and lots of questions of your builder. And test them, interview them, qualify them, go see their previous customers. And I give this advice all the time, go see their other work. Are they happy customers? If you've got generally happy customers, they're fair dinkum and you're not going to get ripped. A good builder wants to keep building for the, you know, for as long as they can. And if they've been doing work for a long time, they wouldn't be a rip-off merchant. It's these people you haven't heard much of. So you've got to do your background, hop on social media, all that type of stuff. There's no reason why you can't do your background checks. But I'm sad to say it still happens more than I'd like. Just really poor, all up front, wonderful, and then poor service during the build, variations without being talked about. Variation is where they're asking for more money because they didn't allow for it or something like that. Or if you've changed something, yeah, there's variation. Be very careful. It has to be upfront and signed an agreed amount. Even to the point where I've seen people go halfway through and they disappear.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty ordinary. Try and get that fixed up. What a horror show. And this is no different to all the building companies that have gone bust. That's completely different, okay? We're talking about people that are just plain bad business people and bad people. So, again, talk to as many people as you can if they've ever heard of this builder. And make sure they're actually licensed. There's a good one for you.
Yeah.
In Tasmania, they have to be licensed. Rest of Australia, except for Queensland and Victoria, they're licensed. So you've always got somewhere to go to complain, to do something. The rest of the states, not regulated in the same way. But it's coming in.
I was going to say, that's really surprising that kind of Tassie's paving the way for that.
Well, we weren't. Victoria, I think, were first, and then us.
Okay.
And then Queensland had it for a fair while. So, but they're all slightly different systems. But there should be consumer protection on this. And New South Wales does, I'm pretty sure, has some pretty good consumer protection on it. But they're still dodgy. And always have a contract. Always have written agreements. Okay, even if it's just doing a bathroom reno, have a hand sketch, have a contract. Just do it. Don't even think about it saying, oh, I don't want to do this. Says, I want to have a contract so we haven't agreed. You're protected, I'm protected. Make sure they even have insurance. See the policy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I've even said with, if they're building you a new home, ask their accountant to give you a declaration to say they're financially viable to do the build. I don't think that's unreasonable to ask that.
Mm-hmm.
Do a credit check. If you're doing a build, if you're about to drop 500 grand with a builder, do a credit check.
It's a lot of money.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, it's a big investment.
Yep. You don't know what they've got into or how they've got themselves in a bundle, or they could be going through family problems that you don't know. You just don't know. There's a whole ton of stuff. Yeah, so hopefully that gives a little bit of insight on try and reduce the chances of being ripped or let down.
Yeah, and just go over the contract too, I think, with a fine-tooth comb. Like,
but even check, go check to what's Master included. Builders, HIA, take the contract. If they usually use one of those contracts, go into them. Is this right? You know, get someone else to look over it for you, double-check. There's no harm in just getting someone to double-check the contract and making sure what you've asked for you're actually getting. If you've asked for a certain type of tap, make sure you're getting that. If you asked for, you know, Tazo vanity, wall-hung vanity with a, you know, some crazy-ass concrete top on it, make sure you're getting it specifically and it's in the contract. And talk to other people. Again, I think referrals are the best.
Yeah, and I'm just curious, when a client comes in, do they normally already have a builder or do they come in and not have a builder yet?
It's 50-50.
Really?
Seriously. And I like that. And I love working with the builders because we're all on the same page, especially on budget things, so we can talk about, as long as the builder is fair dinkum and he serves the customer well, I love it where they're along for the ride through the design process because we get the best results generally when we do that. So some don't, that's fine, and we refer some builders that we've worked to. And even though we refer them, we recommend interview them, qualify them.
Do your research.
Yep, talk to other people, look at their other jobs, look at the quality.
100%.
What other questions people ask?
Can I build what I want?
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that... Oh, yeah. We get that from extensions, new homes, all. Yeah. And good question to ask. If they've got a sketch, they've got an idea, they don't know what they don't know again. So we do research. So we check under the planning schemes. We have a look at, maybe we'll go around and have a look at the house. Can it be done? Type of house, age of house, what's around the block? Can they get the garage in how they want? It could be a whole ton of things. I've got a pool that's going to hang out of the ground, you know, 4 metres out of the ground on a job. Can I do it?
Wow.
Or you use a shipping container pool, don't you? Yeah.
A shipping container pool? Is that a thing?
Are you serious?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You got shipping containers converted into pools. They're awesome.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, you crane them in. I've heard people, certain in the big cities, they can go hire them for the summer.
Wow, that's cool.
That's what I thought. So it makes sense to use one of those because then you build the steel frame and then put all the decking around and all the requirements for pool safety. Yeah, big shipping container full of water. Well, not quite. It's fiberglass and heaters and filters and all that. But, yeah, anyway, just an example. Digress there a bit.
Yeah, that's very cool. I can't believe I didn't know that.
Yeah, and don't feel scared to ask, can I build... It's not just what I want. I have this idea. can I build this? And we get it more than you think, and we do a little bit of checking. If it's tricky, then we go into an agreement called a feasibility study, and we do a lot more research on that for them, and we write a little bit of a report. Because you might go, oh, I want to do this, this, and this. Yep. Can I do it? Don't know. Because under the planning scheme, it might say, oh, you're restricted, or you want to build there, but you might be covered by a flora and fauna overlay, which means there's some rare plants and things like that, apparently, you know, based on planning maps and all the rest of it. You could be over a landslip, you could be over a pipe, cute furry animal overlay. That's what I call it. That's the priority habitat.
Yes. That's not the real name, cute fairy animals.
But we have so many cute fairy animals here in Tasmania. They're everywhere.
We're very lucky, yes.
Well, can be. There's so many of them. So, yeah, it takes an effort from us to look at all the maps, planning, research. One of my favourite ones is, because Tasmania's titles are generally could be up to, you know, 200 years old, their title could see a street, and we just had one just recently. There's a street next to it. Oh, yeah, no worries. We can come off that street. And then what has happened during the process, once we've done the research, it's actually only says street on title, but it's actually a privately owned piece of land that everyone uses to gain access to the back of their houses.
Oh.
So it looks like it's probably about 100-odd years old. It might have been used in the years of, you know, when you had the long drop or whatever and the night cart. Anyway, everyone uses it. It's just a gravel track. But since council doesn't own it, you can't actually have legal access of it.
That's interesting.
It was. And
how do you get around that?
You don't use that access. You use the access off the road. Yeah, right. It was more convenient to use that as part of the design. So we're just going to go, yeah, okay, we'll have a look at this. But what's interesting, you know, digress a bit, on this one in particular, TAS Networks have got their power lines up there. Telstra have got their lines up there. TAS Water have got a water line up through there.
And it's private.
It's actually privately owned.
Wow.
So there's a big legal thing that has to be researched on that, and it can get really, really expensive because the person owns it probably dead. I've seen plenty of those that no one actually owns it anymore.
Wow.
Because there's no record. The records stop because someone's passed away and no one's claimed it. And it's actually useless. It's actually a liability to someone. And council doesn't pick it up because it's another road they've got to maintain, or yeah, it actually is a gravel track. They've got it legally. They have to put a road in. So they don't want to take it on. Well, sure. They want to drop $200,000 or $300,000 on putting a bit of a road in to service like five houses, which is only the back, you know, to service the back of them.
Wow, they got a big job trying to keep up with all of that as well.
Well, but that's also limitations that not everyone is 100% aware. It's not on the titles, not anywhere until someone challenges it. And those are things, can I build what I want? In this case, well, you still can, but it's going to be different to what you think.
There might be compromises along the way. I guess that's something that people have to realise sometimes.
Yeah, on your thinking, 100%. You know, also where people, can I build this on this block? And you go, look, it's pretty flat. And we'll go and have a look, we'll get a survey, and there might be 2 to 3 metres over because it's a big piece of land, maybe 1,000 square metres. And it doesn't sound like a lot. It looks pretty flat. But by the time you put a house on it, let's just say a house, say 250 square metres, might be 22 metres long, something like that, one end of the house is hanging out by about a metre and a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, that's where the contingency, we're talking about budget, because that might add, you know, anywhere but 3 or 4% to the total cost of the build.
Yeah, that's a lot of money when you add
that
up.
It is, but you didn't realise, but it looks flat. Yeah, I know. Or you've got to cut it in and you've got to put a retaining wall in. And, you know, you're going to pay $300, $400 a square metre for a retaining wall, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where, can I build what I want? Maybe. Let's check it out.
Yeah, it takes a bit of research, a bit
it does.
Understanding of the site.
And in some cases, council planning, they won't make comment until we actually make an application.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
Because I can't give the advice at that point.
All right. Yeah. Any take-home points?
Well, all those things, all those questions, well, people come in and ask us. So we will answer those. We facilitate those. There's no problems. And no question is a dumb question. Like I said, if you don't know what you don't know, come in, ask, and we can help you with that and at least guide you in the right direction. That's what we do. That's the initial contact with us, and we can guide you through that. And if it needs to go further, we put a fee proposal or we do a feasibility study together for you just to inquire what we can and can't do. But even then, until you actually make the applications on certain things, you don't know. And that comes down to infrastructure, planning, a few other bits and pieces.
And things that you potentially can't see on the site.
Yep. But the big thing there is one step at a time, and we advise you the best we can. That's all we can do. But most of the time, we can figure out most of it before we even start.
Yeah, that's really good.
So come in and ask.
Come in and ask. There's no question too silly.
No, definitely not. But if you're not sure on a few things, you can hop on our website. We've got a lot of information on there as well. We're just trying to educate people at the end of the day so they feel better prepared or more confident moving forward, whether it's an extension, whether it's a new home or even a commercial property, doesn't really matter.
Or even listen to some of our other podcast episodes.
Yeah, there's plenty of info on there.
Yeah.
It's funny, even the guys in the office are listening to a few of those, learning a few tips and tricks.
Oh, definitely. And stay tuned because we have some fantastic special guests coming up in the near future.
So. Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
All right, well, we might wrap it up there, Frank. Thanks for listening to the Building Design Primetime Podcast.
Catch us later.
You're listening to the Building Design Primetime Podcast.